Here we go. Okay. All right. So last week we discussed some of the halachos of korbanos, of reciting korbanos before davening. We discussed a little bit about which ones were the more important ones, and how important were they, and what happens if you don't have time, and a little bit about each one. So tonight we'll take a little time to go through some of the sections of the korbanos a little bit more carefully. We mentioned last time that the Mishnah Berurah says, at least about some of the sections of korbanos, that the idea is that you're really supposed to understand what you're saying and maybe even learn about it. He says here in Siman Mem Ches, he says, it seems to me, the Mishnah Berurah says, that somebody who knows how to learn really should learn the explanation of the Gemara or the other sections of what they mean. Okay, meaning even though every day you're supposed to say them, okay, but really you should learn them also at least once so that you understand what you're saying. And then you can actually consider, when we say, you know, that at the end of the section of Korbanos, we want, you know, Hashem to consider our recitation if we actually brought it. So once you actually understand what you're saying, then you really can say that, you know, you hope that Hashem considers it if you brought it. If you don't understand what in the world you're saying, then it doesn't really help very much, right?
Well, you said it's segula for parnasa, so you have...
That's also true. So that maybe the segula is true anyway.
You could have that in mind, right?
That may be true also. But it happens to be that many of the Sfarim say that the segula for parnasa, if you're talking about the Ketorah specifically, is only if you actually say it very carefully, word for word, and you understand what you're saying.
Wow.
If you don't understand what you're saying, the school may not work.
Whoa.
Okay, that's what they bring down a number of Sfarim about.
Really?
So we're not going to go through every paragraph, but we'll go through some of the more important ones, at least briefly, so a basic idea of what they're talking about. So I brought all these Sfarim here, because each paragraph is from a different place, and the sitter as well. Okay, so let's start. Just find a section here. And I think there may be a couple halakhic points also that we didn't get to last week, so if we remember them, we'll try to throw them in along the way. Okay. So basically, one point, which I did not mention last week, there's a question, believe it or not, whether women are supposed to say the korbanos or not. Okay? It seems like many of the posts say that the women actually are supposed to say the korbanos, believe it or not.
Oh.
Okay? Well, the last time you saw that, I don't know. But it's mentioned in the Beis Yosef, okay, and he quotes here in the Piskei Chuvos that it's actually that maybe women should say the korbanos because if tefillah is tefillah corresponds to korbanos, and women are chayav in tefillah in some form or other, maybe not completely, but at least partially. So basically, maybe women are also chayav in korbanos, and then women should say the korbanos as well. However, it seems like minhag is that many women do not say the korbanos.
With the cloth, or
no, forget the cloth. Just say the word, just to say it. But it seems like the minhag is not to say. Many women do not say the korbanos. Doesn't mean they can't. It seems like maybe they don't. And again, there's different explanations about why that might be. He quotes a few of them here. That according to the Mishnah Shkalim, women do not have a chelik in the korban of tibor, like the korban tamei. Women are not really part of that, so maybe they wouldn't be obligated to recite the parshios. In addition, in terms of the tefillah, women are not necessarily 100% chayav in tefillah either. They may be chayav partially in tefillah, but maybe not completely in all parts of tefillah. That's also a big discussion, so it's not so pashut. Basically, the bottom line is that the custom is women generally do not say korbanos, but it's not that they can't say it; it's just that they don't have to say it, and they generally do not, but any woman that wants to say korbanos, by all means, is great. It's not to be discouraged in the slightest. Okay, that's the story. Okay, and some, by the way, say that women should say korbanos. Okay, it's not that everybody says they don't have to. I saw in some of the Sfarim that they actually say that women really should say it. They don't recognize these heterim. So there's certainly room to be machmer and say it. Okay, let's go through some of the sections here. The first two sections, just of the korbanos section, we mentioned this last time. I'm not going to read through them now. Basically, they have to do with the kior and the trumas hadeshen. Okay, do you have a sitter? Yeah, sitter. Okay. So the first two sections of the korbanos are the kior and the trumas hadeshen, which we're not going to read through. Again, the kior, we said, is that's what they call the laver in English, L-A-V-E-R, where the kohen used to wash their hands and feet from. That, of course, they used to do in order to do the avoda. They can't do the avoda until they've sanctified their hands and feet. The second section of the trumas hadeshen, we mentioned, that's the section where says that at the end of the night, so the beginning of the morning, so basically the Kohen is going to basically remove the ashes from the Mizbeach, which basically are left over from the overnight burning of some of the fat and the limbs from the day before. That's what generally happens overnight. So there are a lot of ashes left over, so this is the way of cleaning out the ashes. Okay? And then taking the ashes and moving them, removing them out, taking them out of the machaneh. Anyway, that's paragraph number two. Paragraph number three, this is the one that we mentioned last time, is very important, the korban, the parshas ha-tamid. The korban ha-tamid. This is the one that says, by the Russian, which only word sad is b'nei Yisrael, the avartal name is korban ilach mi leishai. So we said last time, this is actually very important, and this is actually seems to be, according to many poskim, either an actual obligation, or close to an obligation, or a sort of an obligation.
Sorry, where are we looking at?
I don't know how to describe it to you.
Is it after Vayedaber?
It's the third Vayedaber. It's by the Rosh Hashanah. The word Sabbath B'nei Yisrael V'Yom HaTov Liyavas Korban Ilach Mi Leishai.
Okay, that's that one.
That's Korban HaTamid.
Yedaber Hashem El Moshe L'Mor Tzarek B'nei Yisrael V'Yom
HaTov. So that was the last time. That is important. If you only have a little bit of time, that you really should say. Maybe we didn't mention it last time. The custom of many people is to stand when they say the Korban HaTamid because it's very important. But again, it's not so clear. I'm going to go through the details now. It seems that maybe that was the only stood at the time when the whole shul said it together. And the chazan basically said it, everybody listened, so maybe then they stood because that was considered to be more significant. Today, again, the custom is something willing to stand when you say it, but
no one really is saying it together now.
Exactly, so that maybe you don't have to stand anymore. Maybe that was only at a time they all said it together and somebody was being mostly the other ones. Whatever it is, you could go either way. Again, some people stand, some people don't stand, that's fine. There's also...
So after you complete that, it goes into Atahoshim, the Ketorah.
Let's mention also, I found in the Piskei Chuvos here just about the idea of saying Korbanos as a whole tzibur. I don't think we mentioned this last time either. Well, we did mention it last time that in shuls today, at least in Israel, they generally don't even start, you don't start davening until more shir or hodu with the shul. So he points out here in the Piskei Chuvos, in this sefer, he points out that it used to be that every single shul, they all used to start davening at the beginning of davening with Berachos HaShachar and the Korbanos, and they would say it all together, and they would say each part, a good old days. And in America, many people still do that.
But in America, again, I could be fuzzy memory, that they say the Berachos HaShachar.
Some shuls do spend time for Korbanos and some don't.
I don't recall.
Some do and some don't.
Are they just skipping it, or are they just saying it very fast?
Many places skip it, some places
just
go
straight to Mizmor Shir.
Some people say, some of them will say Ezu Makoma and Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Some of them will say the first Parshas HaTamid, maybe not together, but quietly. And some will just go straight. So some will give a lot of time. And my wife's shul in Fairlawn, where she comes from in New Jersey, Rabbi Yudin, if you know who he is, he actually wrote the introduction to this commentary, this center. Okay, he's quite well known in the world of Kiru, I guess, in a way of, explaining these kind of things. So in his shul, they say the whole thing. They don't say it out loud, but they give them time to say the whole korbanos. So you get there 7 or 8 minutes late after they start davening, and they haven't started Mizmor Shir yet.
Wow.
Okay, and that's not why you should come late. You should come on time.
Right.
I'm saying you should come on time so you can say korbanos. But
what gives them? What gives the shul the right just to
Good question.
Where did that? It must have happened at some point.
They just wanted to cut down on the time of davening.
That became a thing, right?
I think they wanted to cut down on the time of davening so that you can. Especially in some of these shuls where it's hard to do it, because if you do that also, then because they're minyanim, 3 minyanim back to back, so there may not be enough time to do the whole thing and still.
Sure.
For example, let's say at the Merkazi shul,
6 to 6:45.
Right. Yeah. So the 6 o'clock minyan, maybe it's hard for people to come earlier than that to say we're going to start before that, you can't make it go too late, because if it goes too late, then it's 6:45 minyan, and 6:45 minyan can't start too early, and then if it goes too late, whatever it is, for whatever reasons it happened. So he points out here that he says that many chachamim were not so happy about this. That's what he says. He goes to Shlomo Zalman Orbach and others. They're not so happy that it ended up being that they just cut out that whole section of davening. I mentioned this already last time. He says harbe yishli tztayer al kach. You should be very upset about this, etc. Whatever it is. Okay, again, but we can still say it. It doesn't mean, even if we don't say it with the tzibur, but still important to try to say it as much as best as we can.
Is it okay to say it at the end then?
So we mentioned this last time already. We said last time from Mishnah Berurah that really is ideally it's supposed to say it before davening. But if you don't have time, then you could, then it's good to say it at the end. Meaning better to say it at the end than not at all. As we mentioned last time. Okay. That's what the Mishnah Berurah points out. Or I think actually the Ramah points that out. There's either Ramah or Mishnah Berurah. Okay. All right. So now, so let's look at the parashas of Tavid. Okay, just briefly what it's saying here. It says, "Vayibershem Moshe leimur tzavas bnei Yisrael leimur tzar lehem." A commandment of Yisrael leimur tzar lehem, say to them, "As korban ilach mi leishai." Okay, my offering, my food, lechem, bread, like food sustenance, leishai, for my fire. Okay, reach nichochi, my reach nichoach, which is my satisfying aroma. I think my Hashem is talking here, right? Something Hashem has satisfaction. Whatever, this is not clear what this means, but in some form, kivyach Hashem has satisfaction from the aroma, either literally or figuratively, probably figuratively, of the korbanos. Tishmaru, you should be careful not really to bring it at its proper time. Okay, its proper time here again is talking about the korban tumid, which is brought every single day, twice a day. Okay, he says be careful to bring it at the right time. Okay, martelah, you should say to them, meaning to Bnei Yisrael, zeh isha, this is the offering, the fire offering. On the fire, shetakriv l'Hashem, you should bring to Hashem. Kfasim b'nei shana tzmimim. Okay, it should be lambs that are 1 year old, b'nei shana, 1 year old. Tzmimim. Tzmimim means it's unblemished, it's perfect, no blemishes. Shnayim mayom. Okay, two every day, olah tamid. They should be an olah, continuous korban olah, elevation offering. A korban olah, of course, is the korban where it's completely burned. Okay, you don't get to eat any of it. So the korban tamid is basically two lambs every single day. It says, okay, the first one is brought in the morning, and the second one is brought in the afternoon. Okay, so those are our two korban tumids, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And of course, we know that they're, according to many opinions, the fact that we say Shmona Esrei twice, one mincha, shacharis, and one mincha, corresponds to the two times you bring the korban tumid.
Do you say this again in mincha?
So some people, I think we mentioned this already last time also, that some people do. The Mishnah Berurah or the Ramah, they don't. I don't think they mention. They mention that some people do, but they don't say that you have to. Do you have it here? The Ramah says that some people do. correct. They say they're very strong. It's a little bit more
customary. Is it in there? Do they have it in there? In Mincha? Do they say it?
So again, in Eretz Yisrael, it's a little more customary to say it in Mincha also, but not, you know, not tremendously customary. Nisach Sfard does say it in Mincha. Okay, again, not everybody does it, but it is, Nisach Sfard officially does have it in Mincha.
Usually say it before the Mincha.
Yeah, yeah. Nisach Ashkenaz, even in Eretz Yisrael, there are some that do. Minhag Yerushalayim, some people do, but it's not, you know, it's not the standard custom to say it in Mincha. And there's definitely no obligation to say it in Mincha, at least,
yeah.
I think.
Yesh omrim, lifnei tefillah, mincha, seder ha-korbanot.
Yeah. So some people, okay. So again, if you feel like it, it's
I just thought, I'm like, yeah, that's not important.
Right. It's very nice, but it's definitely not a chiyuv to say it in the afternoon. Okay.
Let's see. Look at that. It starts, boo.
Yeah. Okay. The Seder. So again, you know, it's a nice thing to do, but you don't have to, and I personally do not do it at Mincha. All right. So now, so in terms of the korban tumid, so again, we have two korban tumids, you know, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and that's what it says here. Then it says, "Va'asiri ta'ifah solos holuchav ulav v'shemen kasis shuviyas hahin." Okay, a tenth asiri ta'ifah is a tenth of an eifah, a tenth eifah, which is a measurement of sola, which is the fine flour for a mincha, for the meal offering, which goes together with the korban tumid. Bilula, which is mixed together, b'sheven katzit revi'it hahin, with a quarter hin, okay, of sheven katzit, which is crushed olive oil. Okay, so meaning this is what's mixed together with your korban tumid, with your animal, your lamb. So you put together your mincha, your meal offering of flour, together with the crushed oil. Okay, then it says olat tamid hasuya b'har Sinai, the korban olat tamid every day, which was done originally at Har Sinai. A reach nichoach, a satisfying aroma, yishel Hashem, should be a fire offering to Hashem. And basically the netzach, the nisuch, is basically the wine. There was a little bit of wine that came with each korban also. So it's a quarter hin for each lamb of wine. A kodesh hasech netzach shekhar la Hashem. It can be poured on the altar, on the mizbeach, Fermented libation, shechar is fermented like wine. Nesach is libation to Hashem. Okay, that's the keves Hashem to Hashem in Arba'im. The second keves you bring in the afternoon, kinechas aboger chiniskotas, exactly like the morning one. Okay, the same halacha with the korban mincha, with the meal offering, as well as with the wine, the nesach hayayin, in the afternoon as well. Yisherech nichlas l'Hashem. Okay, it's a satisfying offering, aroma for Hashem. Shacharos al yarech mizbeach tzafona. This pasuk, by the way, is not from the same section of the Torah. It's from earlier in Vayikra. And here it just tells you where you shecht it. Where do you shecht the korban ola, which the korban tamid is one of them? You shecht it al yarech mizbeach tzafona on the north side of the altar. Okay, that's where all the very holy offerings were brought. So the Hashem, for Hashem, zarkub ne'aron akonis damo, and then the kohanim al mizbeach tzafona. The sons of Aaron, the kohanim, basically sprinkle the blood from the korban all around the mizbeach. Okay, so that's basically the section of the Korban Tumit. And then we said, literally, he wrote in afterwards that we want to say that sickness is ki'ilu, you know, he grabbed the Korban Tumit muado and so as if we brought the Korban Tumit itself at the right time, in the right place, and with according to all the halachic requirements. Okay, that's Korban Tumit. Right? We're good on the Korban Tumit.
That's great.
It's good. Yeah. Okay,
bring it on.
Now I got to do a say every day. All right, okay. So that's that. So now let's go to the next one. The next one is the Ketores. Okay? So the first introductory paragraph, which I think we saw last time, just says, Hashem, you are the one that that our forefathers offered Ketores to in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, as Hashem, as you commanded us through Moshe. And then basically we have two sections, really two main sections. One, Sukkim from the Torah, and the second section is passages from the Gemara. Okay, so look through here, and basically the Torah passage, try to go through it. So the Yidra Hashem and Moshe, Kach Lecha Samim, you should take your hands off Samim. Okay, Samim, of course, in modern Hebrew is drugs, but in the Torah, Samim is spices. Okay, so we're taking the spices here. Nataf U'Shechelas V'Chelbanah. Okay, so now basically what the Torah is going to tell you is some of the spices that that you have to bring. Okay, basically we'll see that there were a whole bunch of spices that were included, they mixed together in order to make the Ketores. So what are these? I cannot tell you what they are, but I'll tell you the translation. Okay, Nataf is translated as stat. I don't even know what these are. Okay, Shchelos is onaika, at least I've heard of. Chelbanah is galbanum, from the same word. Okay, again, I cannot describe the spices. Chelbanah, we know, of course, I think we mentioned this last time also.
The smelling one, right?
Right, so it doesn't smell good. So that's what we mentioned, which is very important, because that symbolizes the Rishayim, right, the wicked people. And part of the idea of the Ketores is that the Gemara says we combine everything together, right? Not just the spices that smell good, but also the chelban, which does not smell good, to show you that in order to have a true tefillah of Klal Yisrael, the tzibur together, you have to have everybody included, not just the good people, but also the bad people. They all have to be included. That's, of course, very, very important for tefillah in general, and also on Yom Kippur, where we make a big point of saying that we let everybody come into shul. But that's an important idea. Okay, so those are those three. Samim u'vana zakah. Okay, spices at Lubona Zakah, which is pure frankincense, Lubona's frankincense. Bad Bad Yiyah, okay, they're equal weight. Okay, meaning basically these spices here that we mentioned so far are the seven, are equal weight, they all have the same amount of each one. And the other spices have different weights, which we'll see in a minute. Yasiso Sakatoras, you should make it into Katoras. Rokach Maase Rokeach. Which would be Rokach, which is translated as like a compound of spice or a combination of different things of spice together. Maaser Rokeach, basically it's the work of an expert person who makes spices. Okay, I mean, this is not a simple thing to make these spices. You have to really know what you were doing in order to mix the different spices together, and also to make sure that you, number one, you mix it in the right way, and number two, that you mix it in the right proportions. Okay, if you mix it in the wrong proportions, then you're also in trouble. Okay, Mimulach Tahor Kodesh. Okay, it was Mimulach Tahor Kodesh. It was mixed very, very well, pure, Tahor, and Kodesh, and holy. Okay, Vinasatami Menel Lifnehu Eidus, and you place some of the Torahs in front of the Eidut, which is basically the testimony, that's where the Luchos were in the Kodesh, Biol Moed, inside the Ol Moed, Ashri Yvay the Chasham. Okay, where Ashal designated times for you, Kodesh Kodeshim Tielachem. Okay, it should be a Kodesh Kodeshim for you. Okay, so basically this is the spices that Aaron brought in Yom Kippur. When Aaron went into the Kodesh Kodashim, so he brought these spices into the Kodesh Kodashim. Okay. Now we also know that there's also other times that we bring the spices. V'nemar, it also says, this is a different pasuk. The Ktzil of Aram Ktorosamin, the Aram brought Ktorosamin, the spices, but Boker of Boker, not just on Yom Kippur and the Kodesh Kedoshim, but he brought it also every single morning. Okay? When he cleans the lamps of the menorah, so he also burns the spices. Okay, uvalos Aaron is haneros bein arvai. When Aaron lights the lights of the menorah in the afternoon, yaktirena, he also should bring the ktoras. Ktoras tamid lifnei Hashem v'doraseichem. It should be a continual incense in front of Hashem for all your generations. So basically, here also we know that that the ktoras was brought twice a day, every single day, by the Kohan, okay, by Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, okay, and the Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim Gadolim after him, okay? That's the section in the Torah. We mentioned last time that reading this section is very, very important. And then, afterwards, comes the next line of Tanur Rabbanon, Pita Makatoras, which is actually from a Gemara, okay, in Croesus, of all places, right? This is where this line comes from, okay? So I'll read you some of the explanation here from the Gemara. There's a lot of footnotes in the Ars Folio. We're not going to go through most of these, but just give you a basic sense of what the words mean. So when you read it, again, hopefully slowly and with Kavana, at least have a little bit of a sense of what it's talking about. Okay. So basically what the Gemara does here, the Gemara expands on the amounts of each of the spices, how much of each spice is brought. So it says here, Tanur Rabbanan, okay, the rabbis taught, Pita Makatoras. Okay, this is again, this is famous, right? We say this now every day, and even in Chutzpahs we say it on Shabbos. Okay, but what does Pita Makatoras actually mean? Okay, we know the word Pita Makatoras. What does Pita Makatoras mean? What is Pita? So Pita basically means the preparation and the mixture together of spices. Okay, literally Pita means like fatten up. You can make it plump or fat. Mm. Here it basically means to prepare or to mix the spices together. So the question is, how do they do it and what do they use? So here the Gemara basically goes through the whole list of all the spices with their amounts. So we have Hatsari, okay? Again, how do you translate this again? I'm going to translate every single one. The first part is not from the Gemara. The first part is not from this Gemara. Okay. So the word Croesus starts a little bit later. Let's do the first couple lines first. Okay, before we get to that part of the Gemara in Croesus. This is just the introduction. Pita Makatoras, how does it work? Shlosh Be'os V'Shishim U'Shmana Manim Hayuva. Okay, there were 368 mana inside. Again, mana is a small measurement. Okay, that's how much there were. Shlosh Be'os V'Shishim U'Chamesha, 365 K'minyam O'Sachama. That corresponds to the days of the year. Meaning, basically, they would make one big mixture of Ketores, and then they would divide it up so that one little section of the Ketores would be used for every day of the year. They would split it up. Pras shachris, pras bin arbaim. One half of the mana in the morning, meaning mana l'chol yom, mana for every day. Three, you know, and they divided it up. Half of mana in the morning, half of mana in the afternoon. Ushlosh mani miserim. The extra three. Why did you make 368 if there's only 365 days? Shemehem achnis kohen gadol melochav nav yom kippurim. So that's what he would use to bring the handfuls of ketoras into the kodesh kedoshim on Yom Kippur that we mentioned before. Those are the extra three. Umachazir umachteshes v'erev yom kippurim. And then he would return them back to the machteshes, which is a mortar, the day before Yom Kippur. And basically he would grind it up all over again. After it was prepared, he would go and grind it up again before Yom Kippur. The shochakan yafe yafe. And he would grind it very, very carefully, very thoroughly. So it would be very, 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 very fine. Okay, very, very, you know, thin and fine. And there was 11 kinds of spices in the ketoros, the eluhim. And these are what they are. Okay, this is where the main part of the brisa starts in Croesus. It says, "Hatsari batzipar and chalbanah v'alabona." Okay, we have stats again. Onaiko, we said before in the Torah, galbanah, chalbanah, labona, frankincense. That we said already in the Torah. Each of those we said before weighs the same. Mishkal shivim shivim mana. Each one weighs 70 mana. Okay, that's the first four. Okay, and then. They say that here the Rav Chaim Noah says, if you're interested, how much is a mana? So they say that that one mana is approximately 425 grams. Okay, which some disagree, but that seems to be that's one of the accepted opinions. That would be 425 grams when you talk about a mana, each mana. Because meaning when they one second. Okay, so they made a lot. They made 70 mana of each one of these. Okay, 70 mana of each one, and one mana we said is 425 grams. Okay, so that's that. What are the next ones? More Katsia Shibolos Der Nakarkon. Okay, more is myrrh, more is cassia, spikenard, and saffron. Okay, you can read these translations as well as I can. All right, so all these, also kinds of spices. Mishkal Shishas or Shishas are one. Each one was 16 mana. Okay, they weighed 16 mana each. Hakosh Shnevasar. Kosh is Kostas. Again, I don't know what that is. You know what that is? You know spices, right? Do you know
what I know Karkom.
Right. Okay, that's saffron, right? I'm not sure that's the same one they use today. Is Karkom,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
The same thing?
Yeah, I think so.
The yellow, one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Alvona.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so that one we know. All right, this one I don't know. Kosh Shnevasar. So that was 12 mana for the Kosh. Kilufa is translated as aromatic bark. Okay. Kilufa is shlosha mana, that's 3 mana. Vikinamon tisha, kinamon is cinnamon. Okay, so that had 9 mana. Alright, so that's the measurements of each one. That's basically the 11 spices. Now we have a few extra things that they also used in order to make the ktoros. What are they? Boris karshina tisha kaban. Boris karshina, they translate as karshina lye. Okay, what in the world is that? I have no idea. It's a kind of herb. Okay, I don't know. It's apparently a different parish from it, exactly what it is. Anyway, so that's 9 kav, tisha kavin. All right. A kav is approximately, let's go, 1.1 or 1.2 kilogram or something like that. I don't know exactly how much it is, but something like that. He says here, I'm sorry, he says here it's less than, a little less than 2 liter. I apologize. That's what he says. Yein kafrisin is cypress wine. See, in Telasa, a kav in Telasa. Telasa is 3. So it's 3 seah and 3 kav. Okay, that's how much wine, this yacht, this wine you put in, the cypress wine, which apparently makes it even better. The angle yen kav reason, if you don't have a yen kav reason, maybe chamar chivar yanatik. You basically bring old white wine. In addition, melach sedomis rova kav, you put in the melach sedomis, okay, salt, sedom salt, which is very thick salt. Rova kav, a quarter of a kav. Mala ashan kolshu, and a small amount of mala ashan. Okay, what is mala ashan? So mala ashan is some sort of herb that causes smoke. Okay, what is it? I don't know. He says here, so again, it's some kind of herb. He doesn't give a suggestion of what kind of herb it actually is. Okay, anyways, that's that. Rabbi Nasan the Bavli says, Af kipas hayarden kolshi. You also added a little bit of kipas hayarden, Jordan amber. Okay, what in the world is Jordan amber? Okay, also a kind of herb that grew apparently on the banks of the Jordan River. Okay, you know something about dvash psala, and if you put honey into the ktoros, it's possible. You ruined it. Okay, anybody know why that is?
That's not part of those ingredients.
That's true. Number one, there's another reason also. Even if it was part of the ingredients, I guess it wouldn't be. But there's another idea also. The Torah says that you can't put honey on the altar. Because it's kol ki kol sor kol dvash, those tachir ben mishal Hashem. You can't offer on the altar. So that's the other idea here, that you can't, that it's ruined. Okay. So that's that. Vim chisar chas mikol salonah chayav nisa. And if it's missing any of the spices, then you're chayav nisa. Then you really have to know what you're doing if you're missing any of the spices. Or I think the verse is also that if you put in the wrong measurements, so then you're chayav nisa v'day shemayim. Okay, you're not, the court doesn't kill you, but in shemayim they make you chayav nisa. Okay? So I think we mentioned last time that there are some Rishon the Beis Yosef quotes that says that that even if you say it incorrectly, then you're also chayav nisa. But the Rama quotes it. Okay? The Rama quotes it. It's in Kuflam and Beis. Where is it here? He quotes it here. I think I mentioned this last time, but just read it again. It says Yei Shekasu. Some people say Yizahar Lamar Pita Maktoras B'socha Ksav. Okay, you should say Pita Maktoras from something written, the low Baal Pat, not read it by heart. Yishum Shamir B'mahoka Ktara, because saying it is in place of actually offering the Ktoras. The Chayshiman Shema Yedaleg, and we're afraid that maybe you're going to skip one of the spices. Echam Yisamanim. And we say, Garinan, the Gemara that we just read, Shuchayav Miso, and Mechisar Echam Yisamanel, you're Chayav Miso if you miss one of them. Okay? And that's why there are Muslims, by the way, in Chutz Lares, we don't say Pitimok Torahs a second time in the morning, like after davening at the end. Because we're afraid people are getting ready to rush out of Shul, and they're not going to say it properly. Mm-hmm. In Eretz Yisrael, we still say it anyway, even though the same concern is still relevant. Okay, people are running out, and you know, so I don't know. We better not say it at all if we're going to do that. But that's the again, just to be aware. That's what he says. Again, Iker Hadin, they say that that's not real. We don't really pass it that way. Okay? We don't really pass it that. The Mishnah Berurah points this out in Kesef Katan Yud Zayin, because we don't really pass it Chayav Misa if you just said it wrong. Okay, and also you are not Chayav Misa unless you did it on purpose. And certainly if you just, you know, skipped it, you know, you messed up, you didn't do it on purpose, you did it by accident.
So Chayav Misa is something real or something? You're saying it's a...
If you really intentionally mixed the Ketores in the wrong way, then you're Chayav Misa, bide Shemayim. Not by the court, but by Shemayim. Mm-hmm. Rama is saying, because of that concern, so you got to make sure to say it correctly also, because maybe saying it is if you brought it, and if you say it wrong, it's as if you brought it wrong. Mm-hmm. So as if you're Chayav Misa. But he said that, Mishnah Berurah said that's not really true. It's not really that you're Chayav Misa. Because again, it's only you're only Chayav Misa if you said it intentionally. If you did it wrong intentionally. Mm. So certainly, if you didn't say it wrong intentionally, you just made a mistake, and you're not going to be Chayav Misa for real. Okay. And you know, he says the Chayav Misa is not really if you said it. The Chayav Misa is really if you, you know, clearly the Rambam and the Sefer, you know, it's not. It's only if you actually did it. The point is because we see that it's so severe, so we want to be very careful with it to make sure to say it right correctly. Also, okay, that's the idea they're getting across here. It doesn't really mean you're Chayav Misa. That's what the Mishnah Berurah possibly says.
Is there another instance? It's pretty strong language.
Yeah,
I've actually heard someone. I don't know if they were joking or something. They don't say it because they're afraid of.
Well, again, so that's what the Rambam says. Why in Chutz La'aretz we don't say it at least a second time in the morning before davening? You do say it, but the second time at the end of davening. They don't say it. That's rushed, why. That's exactly what the Ramah says.
Right.
That's why we don't say it during the week. Mm. On Shabbos, we're less rushed, so we can say it on Shabbos. But again, Eretz Yisrael, the custom of the Vilna Gaon, which was accepted everywhere here, is that we do say it. I guess the idea here is that people are more calm about things, and they'll say it carefully, even if they're rushing out to work. They won't rush out to work. There's no work to go to. I don't know. I'm not sure. Again, I mean, you have to be careful with it, though. Okay, I mean, even though you're not really going to be a Chayav Misa, according to what we possibly
And you're just
know.
Being careful from where to where.
The
just the listing.
Say the listing.
Just the list.
The listing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Fine. So that's the story with that. There is a little more here. I don't know. Stop soon. So I don't really want to go through all this. But we'll just briefly go through the next section. There's a few more paragraphs. We have Rav Shmuel Gamliel over. So he says that the sorry we talk about the stacked is. Sraf is sap from a tree.
I'm sorry, where'd you jump to?
I'm just the next pack. I just continued from where we left off.
Oh, it's on your broken board.
Okay. I know that the ktav. Basically, the sap that drips from ktav, which is a kind of tree, okay, a balsam tree. That's what the tsari is. Okay. Then it asks Boris Karshio. This is just extra stuff now. Boris Karshio, Lama Yibah. This is not the actual list anymore. This is just the explanation now. Okay, why do they bring Boris Karshio? The Karshio, why? Clearly, I put by Tazi Por to bleach. Okay, to beautify the tzipora and the onaika. Kadesh they have not. It should be pleasing. It should be nice. Okay, and that's the reason why they that they do that. Okay, meaning the tzipora is darker, is a darker color. So if you use this stuff, so this makes it a little bit whiter, which makes it look nicer. Yay, kafrisin la'uva. Why do they bring the yay kafrisin? Okay, again, these are what he's asking about is the extra thing. It's not the 11 spices that we said. But the extra ones that we said afterwards that they bring in addition, okay, the Karshmor, Karshina, the Ed Kafrisin, those were the additional things. So he's asking, well, why do we bring the additional ones if those are not part of the 11 spices? So the Ed Kafrisin, he says, they at least the Boaz so that the Onaika, the Tziporan, is soaked there. Kadeshin Heya Aza. He says, should make it pungent, strong. Okay, that gives it a very, very strong smell. Okay, that's the point. It's supposed to have a very, very strong smell. And that's what gives it its strong smell. And it has a whole layer of lime. Yafima, wouldn't urine have been better for that purpose? But El Shem Achlis Miach Kavod. Okay, that's not dignified and respectful to the base of Mikdash to bring that in, so therefore we're not going to use that. Okay, that's Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. And then, again, in the morning, we say, before davening, we have two more prayers, which we're not going to read inside now. But basically, Rabbi Nassim, Tan Rabbi Nassim Omer, and Tan Devar Kapar Omer. Okay, Rabbi Nassim basically talks about how you grind it. Okay, he says that when you grind it, you say hatake tape. You say grind it thoroughly, because somehow when you talk, that makes it grind better. Okay, again, we don't quite understand exactly why that is, but somehow, you know, that's the way that it works. And then we have the question of how you mixed it. Okay, it tells you that you've mixed it into half quantities, etc., etc. I'm not going to go through it now. And then Bar Kappara adds in the next paragraph, he says that basically they would, every 60 or 70 years, they would have enough leftovers from what they didn't use for each year to basically get to half of the yearly quantity by itself. Okay, I mean, that's how much every year. They would have a little bit of leftover at the end of the year. They would make it once a year, and they would use it however much they would use. A little bit at the end, after 60 or 7 years, they would have about half of the yearly quantity left over. Okay. Maybe another line here also. That at the end, we'll skip the middle line, then at the end, the very last line, he says, why don't we bring mix honey into it? Because of the issur of putting in honey. Okay. Basically, what he was saying is that if they would put in a little bit of honey or fruit honey, so then it would make the smell very strong, which is what we said we're looking for, but the problem is that you can't bring honey onto the Mizbeach. Okay, that's the point there. Okay? That's basically the idea. That's the P.M. of Torus. Okay? We mentioned last time that the Torus, that the whole thing that we just said with all the paragraphs we say in the morning, before davening, at the end of davening, the P.M. of Torus at the end of davening with the Shir Shal Yom, so we said last time that Nusach Ashkenaz, the minhag is to say only part of it, not the whole thing, but only the pita maktoris with the actual the list of the spices. And we don't say the first part, and we don't say the last paragraph, the last couple paragraphs either. Nusach Sfarad says the whole thing. Everything we went through right now, Nusach Sfarad says the whole thing. Okay, and Edom Mizrach also say the whole thing. That's the difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. Okay. What else? You had some questions. Do you remember what the other questions about were? You wanted to know, do we stand or sit, right?
Right, so that was the answer, I think.
Okay,
right?
So that we said we don't, generally speaking, you can sit, and you could stand if you want, but there's no obligation to stand for that. Even the Korban HaTamid, right. You don't have to stand for, according to some people. Certainly this, you can sit if you like.
I think I asked if it makes a difference if you have a cloth or not, whether
right.
You're standing
or sitting.
Right,
so we said that there are some that the skula is, really the skula is to have a cloth, but there's no obligation to have a cloth. The Mishnah doesn't mention a cloth. The skula is here. If you want the skula for like bracha and hatzlacha and parnasa,
bring it on.
So there is such a concept. And then the main idea is to say it very carefully. That's the main idea. But they say also that this idea of
and then where does it start and end? Like where would the cloth is not starting at?
The cloth has, I think, is mainly the section of the Torah, the section of the Torah plus the brice. I think the pita maktoris. Let's see here. He says, here. Yeah, basically the cloth is from the Sefer called the Seder Hayom. He's the one that mentions the idea of the cloth.
Who wrote that? Who's that from?
I don't remember who wrote it. I don't remember his name. It was one of the later, early Achronim, I think. I think in the 1600s or so. Okay. So basically, you're writing the whole thing about the Pesukim, and then the Brises and the Gemara. That whole thing. Basically, all the paragraphs we said. Basically, is they're all on the clock.
Including Atabu, Hashem Elkein, or Shetiru.
No. Just the Pesukim. Bayimra Hashem Shakach Lachasanim, and then the Tanar Abban Pita Maktoris. So that whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's also on the clock. I can read you what he says here. He says you should read it. The idea is to be mevatel kol nega upega ra, any bad thing happening to you, to break the klipos, to avoid the yetzer hara, and you should read it with kavana and with clear das, etc., etc. And then the Zohar says that you can basically protect a lot of things. You can prevent a lot of bad things happening if you read the Torah. The Parshas of Torah every day, and then they say that again you have to read a Bedikdu Gadol with very very careful words, Mila Mila, word for word, with a lot of Kavana, and that's basically what they do said about that. What else did you say? We asked about Mincha. Did we spoke about Mincha already?
Okay.
Any other questions? I think we covered all your questions, right?
I think so.
I think so. Okay. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, there are a few other parts. I don't think we're going to continue this next week. Just we mentioned that the Super Roshan Sfakos Yimon is Galvan Olkev, which we talked about last week. And the Ezu Makoman, we didn't really go through now. But the Ezu Makoman, we said, also is the whole section of the Korbanos, which tells you exactly which kind of Korban, how do you bring it, where do you shecht it, what do you do with the blood afterwards. That's the whole Mishnah of Ezu Makoman, which also is important to learn through and to try to understand what each one is saying. So I don't think we're going to go through that, but you know, we can read through your Kahati Mishnayos or whatever else, or in the Seder, to understand for each one, you know, where, which part of the Mizbeach, which part of the Beis Hamikdash in the area did they shechted in? There was the north part, the south part. What do they do with the blood? How many times was it sprinkled on the Mizbeach, etc., etc.? That's also very important. Okay.
Right.